if we could ever get him to get it out of his head and get it in his heart. He sings from his toes upward with a passion. How you guys doing today? I sound like you guys are enjoying the singing. Did y'all want to continue that? Okay. No, I'm going to preach. I want you to stay here. I don't want to run you out, okay? Holidays is fun, aren't they? Except when tragedy strikes. You know, we never know what's going to happen in life. We could be going straight forward, everything lovely, and everything just working out for everything. And then all of a sudden, the bells of heaven ring. And things change. I'm going to read some scripture to you this morning. I hate to do it to you because it might offend you, all right? The truth is, I don't really care whether the word offends me or not. Because it's all true. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Chapter 20, verse 25. We're excited. Our grandchildren are all around us, all of them. We are enjoying the company of our two that are Atlantanites, I guess you call them, whatever, from Atlanta. They're up visiting with me and Mama for a week, and we're excited about that. I tell you, just something special. You know, if we had our grandchildren first, we probably would never have children because we can really spoil those and send them home. And when you spoil the other ones, they come home with you. So, let's stand as we read God's word. The Bible says, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Father, thank you so much for your word. It is a blessing every time we read it. But Lord, we do realize as well that while the Holy Spirit is working, there is an enemy here who is trying to steal the seed of the Word of God. I pray that you'd put the angels on the edge of every corner of this building. Fill this room this morning. That as we preach this message, Lord, that your word would shine through, that the word of God would stand strong, that it would encourage us, that it would strengthen us, that it would guide us, that we might hold on to your word when all else fails. So this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint me. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost today. I need you to speak through me because you know I am not worthy to even stand behind this precious desk that I stand. I pray you take my words, Lord, that I would speak and that you would speak through me to every heart, every soul, every person in this room. Lord, may we become obedient children of God. And we will honor you, Lord. I pray if there's one lost and undone, they'd be saved. I pray that your people, the church, the real church, would be stirred by the Holy Ghost of God today and motivate us and drive us and show us what we need to do to bring glory to the name of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on a little small subject, not too big, I've named it the power of attitude. Did your parents ever say, boy, you better change that attitude? The attitude you got going to get you in trouble. You ever hear that? Or if you don't change that attitude, I'm going to bring a knot on your head. That's what you call country talk right there now. And that means they mean business. Our attitudes drive our lives. It is how do we feel right now? What is it that is carrying me through? Whatever situation we might be in. Some situations are horrible. Some are wonderful. Some at times are tough. Others can be glorious. But our attitude is so important. It makes us or breaks us. And how we think, now listen, how we think builds our attitude. And what our attitude is drives our life. Whether that is to success or whether that is to failure, we need to understand what it is and what God expects out of us. When I was out in the public work, I had guys that and gals that would work, and they had such a horrible attitude about everything. I mean, no matter what you said, no matter what you done, nothing was just right. Everything was wrong. And you know, I hate to say it, but they were some of the worst employees. You know, I never fired a guy who had a great attitude about what he was doing. Never did. But I have let a few go in my life that had the wrong attitude. Because their attitude was wrong, they were not driven to do the job. Because they weren't driven to do the job, somebody had to change. Either them or me. And I chose me because I like to eat. You know? And my children like to eat. So I want to make sure that what I was doing was right. But you cannot do anything if we're sitting on the stool of bad attitude. That's the same way it is with our Christian life. You would think every born-again believer would always have a smile on their face, wouldn't you? Always serving, always working, happy to do anything. Well, that's not really the way it happens. I remember at a prayer meeting one time, a bunch of us pastors around town, we would get together and we'd have prayer meeting on Saturday morning. And I remember one morning we were over at a church and we were praying and got together, and then we got up. We started, there was probably about 30 of us there at that time, and started holding hands, you know, and praying together. And this one guy that was there, he stepped out and he began to share us with what he thought that our lives should be like. But while he was going, and I make this point because I say anything can happen and you can't let it stop you, all right? He was telling us exactly what it meant to preach the Word of God. And all of a sudden, his teeth jumped completely out of his mouth. Honestly. They went forward. I thought to myself, what is that? And he steps forward, reaches under as they were going down, right back in his mouth. He never stopped honoring and praising God. Now, the rest of us like to die. All right, the rest of us just laughed and laughed. It was so funny. I still think about today. I remember out of those meetings, that's one of the things I remember. But he was not going to let a little thing like total, absolute embarrassment stop him. And we don't even have to have it that big. Our teeth might stay in our mouth. Or something might happen. And what we're driven so easily because our attitudes are not set to honor God. But it is to bring honor and respect unto ourselves. That's what Paul said here. He said, listen, there's an issue here. That issue is, when I'm gone, see, Paul knew that he would not give the wrong message, that he would preach the Word of God. That's all he cared about, making sure that when he preached, it was an anointing from on high. And God used him to write the majority of the books in the New Testament. But he said, when I'm gone, don't you think one minute that somebody's not going to come in. He said, and they're going to be wolves. They're going to look like sheep, but they're going to be wolves. And when they come in, they're going to have all kinds of stuff that would drive you or pull you away from the gospel. The Amelie version of that. So be careful. See, we cannot hold everything that everybody says. We have to hold what God says. All right? If God says it, guess what? We better believe it. And the only message that we can preach or teach or share, ever what you want to call what it is we do, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about all of us. Whatever it is, we should always desire from our heart to speak truth, to speak it plain, to speak it with the power and anointing of God, but never, ever on our part try to offend anyone. I didn't even get an amen on that. All right, I had to beg an amen, all right? Attitudes. Attitudes. It can keep us from succeeding in what God has for us to do. So in this thing, I'm going to give you some things that I've discovered that will help us and understand why we're in the situation that we're in by giving you four things here that establishes a bad attitude. All right? First of all, let me give you five, all right? First is ourselves. We can give ourselves the worst attitude you've ever seen. You get up in the morning, things don't go right, you stump your toe during the night, you get up and your toe's swollen this big, and you know you got a lot to do that day, and you just get up and your attitude is just rotten. It's called getting up on the wrong side of the bed. Anybody ever heard that? And I guarantee it will affect you all day long, if not all week long, until that thing passes and it's not any pain and suffering anymore. Then we can get on with it. But we are the ones who controls our own attitude. Now, other people affects us, but it's our choice. I want you, we do not have to be ugly. We can be powerful in the hands of God and be loving, gentle, and kind. Isn't that the way Jesus was? Jesus saw somebody hurt him. What did he do? He ministered to them. So he never had a bad attitude. When he looked at his disciples and said, we're fixing to go to Jerusalem. When we get there, I'm going to be arrested. They're going to kill me. Now, if it had been Damon Lee, I'd have been running the other way. And probably all of us in here would do. But no, not Jesus. He said, we're going. And you know where he went? He went to Jerusalem. And they crucified him. But he had the choice of doing what God said do or to turn and do what he wanted to. That's the way we are. We are the source of the energy that drives us to a bad attitude. So I know nobody in here has a bad attitude. I know that. Nobody in here has a bad attitude. But let me tell you what causes bad attitudes other than ourselves. It's being selfish. Being selfish. Now that will just mess you up. Being selfish has a way of just rubbing at you because somebody else has something that you don't have. And if you can't have it, then this world ain't going to be happy that you're in it. The Bible's very clear on what we should do. Jesus said that we are not of our own. The Word of God. We're not our own anymore. Oh, I was my own back when I was 24. And most of my 25th year. I was selfish. But when I come to know the Lord, when He drawed me in, I realized there were some things that had to change. I was selfish and I wanted what I wanted and nothing else. That don't work in the kingdom of God. We are to be loving, caring, giving, doing people. Matter of fact, we should be the happiest and most joyous people on the face of the earth. So whenever we get that bad attitude in the morning, just say, listen, that's not going to make you happy today, so you might as well put it aside. But God said we are to love our enemy. I didn't like that part right there. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 34. And if I lend to them to whom you hope to receive, what think have you? For sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemy. What Jesus is saying here is that there are those who look at people and they do things for them, but they expect something back in return. And that should not be in the life of a Christian, he says. Oh, I've known a lot of generous people. I know one that's more generous than anybody I've ever seen in my life. So I know some generous people. That love to blow their own horn and ring their own bells. They would do something wonderful. And you just wait a couple of weeks, you know who they had done it for and what they had done. Jesus says here that we are to love our enemies and do good. Lend them, give to them, and don't expect anything back. I didn't like that, did you? In other words, we're to do what he says do and not get anything in return. We do it. Listen, we cannot give him anything, and he's done everything for us. Everything. Even your ability to know that there's a God, he give that to you. Even the ability to know that God loves you, he give that ability to you. He give every man, the Bible says, a measure of faith. So he has done everything possible for us. And he had the right attitude about everything he did. I can't even imagine what that was like. To be in heaven and the angels honoring and glorifying you. I love Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. In that book, you look at what they do. All of a sudden, something happened, and 24 elders are falling on their face and go to worshiping. I know this isn't theologically right here, but somebody burped in heaven. Whatever. Somebody sneezed. They'd fall on their face and they'd worship. See, they saw something there. Can you imagine what it was like when Jesus was in heaven and all the angels in glory was worshiping him and glorifying him and doing his bidding for him? Can you imagine? All of a sudden he steps out of that glory into this world of sorrow and pain, suffering and death, hatred, evil. Out steps the King of Glory, right in the very midst of us. But he did not come as a warrior, although he was fighting the battle. He came as a baby, a little tiny baby. So what is it that we need to do what he's asked us to do? I can tell you this. We have to be filled with the Spirit of God. We have to walk in that feeling. And I don't mean feeling like pressure. I'm talking about the infilling of the Spirit of God. When we do that, there's not an enemy, there's not a devil in hell can handle you. When we're walking in the anointing Spirit of God, he has his seal upon us. He has stamped us mine. He had the right attitude. He had the right attitude. There was no selfishness in him. He done everything he did for someone else. And that someone else is you and me. And all those who have believed, that's who he done it for. Now don't think that he did not know you. Oh, he knew you well. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God knows even the number of hairs on our head. Some don't have quite as much as others. Some has more. But it is done by a God who cares so much about us. He gave up everything except being God. Now that I don't understand. That throws me off, okay? That he come as a man, suffered like he did, had the right attitude about everything, but yet he was still God. I'm not even going to ask him what that was like when I get to heaven. I'm just going to dream about it now. Because when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be so glad to see him. We'll be falling at his feet. The Bible says it will lay our crowns at his feet because we're not worthy of a single one of them. He is worthy of all. Then a little skepticism is something else that builds a strong attitude. Now, this is a little different than being selfish because this is towards others. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you're right for the job. I don't think you're the one that lead that. I had somebody tell me that one time. Said, you got to quit the mess you're doing. And all we were doing was praying on a Friday night. We prayed a little different than what most churches do. We'd get around this altar and, my gracious, what's the altar for? But to pray around it. We'd do it different. We'd lay that stuff out. Some weeks we'd write it down, put it in a bucket, put it in an envelope. So that's different things. And my friend Roy, he led that thing. Praying man. The person caught me in the back room back here. And he said, listen, I don't like what you're doing. And if you want my help, you better quit this mess that's going on Friday night. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with who you got leading. I said, let me tell you something. Hold just a minute. Don't go no farther than that right there. You're going far enough now. I said, you are not the pastor of this church. I said, I'm the pastor here. God's put me here. As long as I'm here, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I'll listen to God. I said, he put him on my heart to give him the head of this prayer time, and that's what I'm going to do. Come if you want to. Don't come if you don't. So. If we would just not be skeptical of what someone else is trying to do for God. We don't know what's going on in their heart. We don't know what God's doing for them. So when we are skeptic about something, don't be hateful about it. Be loving. Be kind. That's all you have to do. Things are tough enough without somebody jumping on your cart when you believe in all your heart that God's leading the wagon. We can't be skeptic. Now, if we don't believe that what's doing is the right way to do it, we don't go behind somebody's back and talk about it. We go to that person and talk about it. Say, brother or sister, whatever it is, what are you thinking about with this thing? How do you feel like God's leading you on this? And really get some honest answers. Because when we're skeptic and we begin to talk here and there, it never blesses the church. I'm thankful we don't have any of that, and I don't know of any of that happening, but I know it's happened in the past. And I don't know a church. I know a lot of pastors. I don't know of a single one that would not say the exact same thing that I just said. There are those out there who are skeptic because they don't feel like anybody should lead but themselves. That's what he said. He said they're going to come. They're going to be like wolves, and they're going to do it for themselves, to make themselves look good. So being skeptic can really harm us. So we got to step back and see what God's doing. Try to pray some or a lot. Try to pray a lot. That's a better way to say it. Just pray. And God will lead us. I've come to the conclusion about prayer is that if we would just stay on our face before God until he answers us, until he gives us a peace in our heart, until we know for surety that he has spoken to us. And I believe God will do that. I just believe he'll do that. Now, you know, I don't believe, you guys know me, I don't believe in a bunch of junk. I don't believe in a bunch of show. But I do believe in God's work through the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. I do believe in that. And I believe that God would have us to be loving, caring, kind, and certainly not a skeptic. But, you know, those people that were there with Jesus, they were skeptic. They were skeptics. They did not believe he was who he said he was. And isn't it funny, after the church was established, then they come in and try to pull them away. It's crazy. Another thing is slothfulness. Being slothful. I can tell you what, my mom and daddy broke us from being lazy. They just broke us from being lazy. Matter of fact, if you walked out of your bedroom, go into school, and you into preschool, I'm just kidding about that. We didn't have preschool back then. If you walked out of your bedroom and you couldn't eat off the floor and your bed was made and everything was beautiful in your room in place, you didn't make it to the bus. Mm-mm. Mama loved her house where you could eat off the floor. And you might as well get back in there, and you might as well get it done and do it right. If you don't, the fear of mama's going to enter into you. Amen? But they taught us to work. They taught us, don't you dare be lazy. I'm not going to raise a lazy youngin. Now, that's Southern for child, okay? At 5 years old, I stood at a tobacco truck. Anybody know what old tobacco trucks were? Tobacco sleds? Handing tobacco for you tobacco experts. Time you were big enough, they had you out there working. You're not going to be lazy. If you were lazy or not, you had to work when you was lazy. But the truth of the thing, laziness is just an excuse. It's just an excuse. God has called all of us, every one of us, that's been born from above. And he has given us a gift. That gift is not for you or me to make ourselves famous with, well-liked or loved by the world. He's given that gift to us so that we can edify the church. I mean the church, the real church, those that are born of God. Day before yesterday, I think it was day before yesterday, I was talking with a lady, and they are faithful to the church. Not, they don't go here, but they're faithful to their church. And she said that, you know, they were doing something. It was Wednesday night, and, you know, she was just tired. She had worked, and he had been mowing grass, and they were just tired, and she said, I didn't really want to go to church. I told my husband, I'm not going to church tonight. And she said, then God just sort of convicted me. Well, no, you need to be in church whether you're tired or not. So she said, I just went on and went to church. And we had a good time at church. I said, well, you know what? When God gives you that gift, and I told her exactly what I just told you guys, God gives us a gift. Now, I don't know what your gift is. I said, you might be the hand of the body of Christ. Because all of us in there that are born of God, we have a position in him. And you might be the hand. And you just think, if you don't go, you are causing the church to try to be powerful with God and yet still be missing a hand. I can tell you what, a one-handed person can't do what a two-handed person can do. So we have to understand some things. We cannot be lazy with what God's given us. We have to focus. Now listen, we have to focus on the church. And we have to do what God has given us the ability. And we do it through the church. We do it through the church. That's how we do it. There's a job for every one of us. There's probably some jobs for more jobs than just one, because there's a lot to do. But what we need to make sure that we're doing is that we're doing it and not making excuses for it. I tell you what. Back when we first started to work here, before I went full time and I was gone all the time, I would work myself to death, and on Wednesday night I got home from work just in time to bring the message on a Wednesday night. I mean, they'd start singing without me, because I was in Timbuktu and had to drive back. And you know what? And I'd sit there at night working those hours like I worked terrible hours. And I'm not kidding, 15, 16 hours every day rolled around. And I'd sit there knowing I got a message I got to get together. And God would bring it to my mind. I'd be riding down the road. He'd give me something. I'd be writing it on a pad as I wrote down the road. But don't let laziness stop us from doing what God wants us to do. I can tell you what, I've learned this out. You can run all week long, do all the things that we do, and it will not benefit you eternally unless it's of God. Amen? So, I know people work. We work in a society, matter of fact, we're talking about that, about how we work and nobody really cares that we're tired. Nobody really cares about that. And we want someone to care. Well, I can tell you who cares. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares. He wants us to be successful in life. He has given us every piece of equipment to be successful in our Christian walk. See, he wants us to be, as they used to say on TV, wants us to be dynamite. Right? Dynamite is what he wants us to be. But he don't want us to use our dunamis. He wants us to use his. And I guarantee you this. When we do that, those things will have no power over your life. None. I'm not saying you won't have to fight the battle. But if we will obey the Spirit of God, those things won't affect us. But see, here's the bad thing about it. If it affects us, it affects everybody. We ain't out here alone. We are a body of believers. Jesus is the head of the body. That's who we follow as a believer. I believe this. If the Bible says it, and it's in context with what the Bible is teaching. See, because we can take a verse out of the Bible, if it's not held in its context, it can change everything. Everything. And we can build false doctrines. All right? So you don't do that. Believe me, there's enough in there with absolute established, solid foundation that can mess us up if we got the wrong attitude. So, let's take the Word of God. Let's take it. Like he told the prophet, eat that stuff. It'll be good for you. And we will thrive on him. And he will lead us, guide us, encourage us. You know, I'm going to quit on this probably. I may or may not, who knows. Sometimes the devil will come to me or one of his imps. I'm probably not important enough for the devil himself to come. One of his imps might come and say, you know, you're making a fool of yourself. You're not even a Christian. You're not even saved. That thing you done that time, that didn't mean anything. And you might try to, you might begin to believe it. But I've got something that ties my feet to the fire. And that is that experience I had on April the 20th, 1979, when God swept in and arrested my soul. Now, I run like a scared rabbit. Well, I run like a rabbit trying to get away from a dog was actually what it was. I did not want anything to do with that. None. It was crazy. Them church people was crazy. Matter of fact, my uncle had invited me, and I said, I'm not going out there with all those hypocrites. He said, come on, son, one more is not going to matter. Right. He was my favorite uncle, too. Come on, son, one more. So I went. And oh, my gracious, what an encounter I had. 40-some years now, when I need to look back and make my calling and election sure, my mind and my heart goes back. And he stood on that pulpit with a finger about that long and hit me on the end of the nose and said, "Who are you?" God crushed my heart. Who are you? Sometimes the devil can confuse us. Sometimes he can make us give up on what we know is true. But he's a liar. He's a thief. He's the enemy of every family I know. So, attitude comes when our hearts are prepared. Don't be so stubborn that we miss it. You know, that's bad, to be so stubborn that we miss what God's got about it. Let me tell you one more thing, then I'll hush, about stubbornness. Jesus had sent his men out to do some work, ministry work, healing and doing the things that they needed to do, or what they had encountered. And they come back, and there was one they could not do anything with. They said, "We don't know what's going on, Jesus. I mean, you do it, and boom, the spirits are gone, and they're healed and all that. What have we done wrong here?" Jesus said, "Well, boys," they really were, "boys, you know, some things only come through prayer and fasting. We Baptists have forgot what it means to pray and fast. We have. But he's calling his people, because I do not believe it's going to be long when he's going to say, 'Hey, church, come up hither.'" And you know where they're going? Up hither, wherever he said. Whatever he said, that's where we're going. Let's be people that has the right attitude. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we've had together. Thank you for your word. I am grateful that, Lord, that you chose me, adopted me, sealed me, and called me, Lord, to the work. I pray this morning, Lord, that the word of God, the message, that you would take the message and carry it to the hearts of each one that's here. I know, Lord, we need to be a praying church. We need to be a church that cares not only for each other, but for the lost, for the unlovable, for the unreachable. Lord, I know we can't do everything, but we can work and labor together to do all that you can do, which is nothing's impossible with you. So I pray right now, Lord, if there's one here lost and undone, I pray the Holy Spirit would draw that individual. Open their eyes that they might see. Let the lights of heaven shine in their heart that they might believe and be born again. I pray for your church. Oh, how the church needs revival. With all that we've been through in the last year and a half, Lord, we need a great awakening. We need your loving spirit to stir our hearts. Father, you do that work right now that only you can do, and be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Fred's going to come lead us in a song. Attitudes is everything about everything that we do. So let's pray and ask God to give us the right attitude. Amen. Help us keep the right attitude. Show us the right attitude. And even correct us when we need to be. You know, we know what that's all about. There's no whipping like the whipping God gives us when we are absolutely stubborn, bullheaded, out of his will, out of his way. He can bring us to the woodshed, as he used to say, and correct us. He's a loving God, a loving Father. He's a loving friend. The altar's open. If you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved, all you have to do is believe in your heart. I don't mean that pumping the blood. He said that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. And he's calling everyone, come and drink from the water of life freely. It's yours. All you have to do is drink as we sing.